Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ah, yeah, man. Good Monday morning, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. We are live from the American Airlines Arena for now. I'll just call it the Heat's house. It is Heat Media Day. Very exciting, Leroy. We are here bright and early, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. We're seeing the setups of everybody. They got green screens going on.
Yep.
They got people getting, they're going to do all their photos. People are going to play their games. It's going to be a fun day, man.
You know what? Hot
Seconds with Jax is getting filmed today.
The only reason why we don't normally see that is because we come from the other way. They do that every year.
Yeah.
That green screen.
Oh, yeah.
So normally we come from this way because, well, it's daytime.
It's daytime. Well, this is my theory because I don't know how many, like, to be honest with you guys, I don't know how many interviews we're going to get during the show today. Although I will say this. I went to Jimmy Butler's press conference on Friday.
Uh-huh.
All this dude was talking about was, oh, I got to tell you, I love this team. I gotta get out of bed quick so I don't get beat to the gym. Hey, Jimmy, if you're here already, we'll take a post-workout interview with any of you boys. Just come on down.
Media day.
I'm just saying.
Media day.
I'm just saying. All right. That's all I heard. That's all I kept hearing. Nobody. Right. Oh, man. We're working so hard. Ryle's early riser. Spo early riser. We know you guys are here. Why are you getting some Starbucks? Come on down and chat. Just some chat with us. Right, but here's my theory. So normally the way this works is we've done this live the last 3 years. We've been the show that's here during kind of the meat of everything.
Right.
Last year we had D-Wade. I think we were like the only people to get one-on-ones with D-Wade.
Yeah, you got the wine.
I still got that. Yeah. This year we're going to be doing some post-show taping.
Think UD had something to do with that?
Taking away your wine?
Yeah,
I don't think he was aware of the rule by then.
Don't give Leroy any wine. That guy.
He saw you on the list. He goes,
yep.
So the idea is we're going to stick around. We're going to tape some interviews.
Yep.
But I figure, why are we going to fight through the middle of rush hour traffic to get here? Because we would be off the air at 9:45 getting down to downtown Miami. I've been there before. It's.
But we're going the other way.
Not going down to the arena.
It's
brutal coming from our place trying to get down here.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just like, yeah, I'd rather just drive. I'd rather drive an extra 5 minutes to do my radio show. Yeah, it wasn't that much longer.
What are you smoking?
It wasn't that much longer.
5 minutes?
It wasn't that much longer.
All right.
It wasn't that much longer. At least according to my maps.
Yeah, at this time, it's like 5 minutes, you know.
It really was. It was a quick fly. I'm telling you. Robbie's back from suspension.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Welcome back, Robbie.
By the way, I'm a little nervous. I don't know if my Doom picks did so well.
I got to check because a lot of underdogs won this week, right?
Wait, I know I went 1-2, but I still have tonight's game pending.
I feel like I played it very safe with a lot of favorites, so I haven't checked mine either, but I would feel like my picks are nuked, so you're probably safe.
Yeah, I know Tobin, you had the Cardinals, and they didn't cover.
Yeah, I think I needed a perfect run, so I think everybody's probably good.
There's a couple of things that are just baffling to me about football.
Yeah.
Like, one, like, how often from week to week does the whole demeanor of your team change?
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable because guess what?
Well, except Miami.
No, right. But guess what? If I told you before this weekend, yeah, Cleveland could put up a 40 burger against the Ravens, you're like, what, come again?
Excuse me?
40? Right? And only give up one sack against the Ravens.
The Tampa Bay score was the one that shocked me the most yesterday.
It shocked me not because of the Rams, because the Rams have been known to give up, you know, a bunch of points every now and then. It shocked me from the standpoint of the Bucks.
Right. I didn't think they could put up that many points.
They're good for one of those a year. Remember last year they opened the season with Fitzpatrick? They put up 48 against the Saints week one.
How many defensive scores do they have, Robbie? Because I saw the only one I heard was the Sue.
Dominican Sue scored.
I know. So I was just wondering, like, was it all offensive?
No, it was pretty much all offense outside of the Super Bowl.
It's pretty much all offense.
That's wild.
I mean, it was wild. The Saints won without scoring a touchdown.
That game, I was out by halftime on that one.
Oh, no. I checked out.
Let's get the headlines. Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
What you got, Robbie?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Back from suspension, and I'm fresh off with headlines.
Let's go, man.
The gloom and doom continues with the Dolphins.
My God.
They lost again. They didn't cover again. Lost to the Chargers. A team on the West Coast playing a 10 a.m. game beat the Dolphins by 20 points, 30-10.
I mean, maybe that's why it was so close in the first half.
No, man.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, listen. This has gotten to the point. This is how gloom and doom it is. I listened to sound bites last night.
What?
Yes. There's a couple of things that I needed to see if I was on the same page.
I haven't even listened to that. I haven't listened to Flores. I didn't listen to any locker room sound.
There's a couple of things. Like, look, man, and you know how I feel about Flores, right? You guys got to make better in-game adjustments. It's just simple as that. Now, it's hard for me to make that statement because sometimes the adjustments that you have to make are limited to the players you have making the adjustments. Yeah. And so one goes hand in hand with the other. So how can you then get on the coaches for not making adjustments for things that could probably work when in actuality they probably or may want to make those adjustments but feel like they can't put their players in that position?
It's pretty crazy, man. 81-0 is the scoring differential in the second half for the Dolphins. Not a second half point to be found.
Donut.
Great.
Well, here's what's funny. The Dolphins, who looked pretty good the first half of the game, right? I always wonder if the kicker makes those two field goals, is the attitude in that building in general?
They covered better. The two field goals.
I'm sure it is, but you know what the thing is that's horrible about it is that's been the story of the season. How many points on the board can we look back at every game and say,
right, but
look
those
who was left?
Those weren't difficult. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, like, if you say something like to me, well, they got inside the five and went for it on fourth down and didn't get it, that's different than a field goal, okay? That's your job.
I get you, but I mean, it's also Kenyon Drake's job to hold on to the football against Dallas at the goal line, you know?
Yeah, no, Yeah, but look, I'm never going to be the guy to be standing on my soapbox about holding on to the football.
Is Mark Wallen the best running back on this team?
I think here, like
all this summer about Kalen Ballage.
The best sometimes is the most reliable because they all have talent.
Yeah, he's the
so
best.
If you can put him in a game and you can depend on him to catch the ball, make the block, secure the football, sometimes even though you may not see that 4.5 or 4.3, 4.4 speed, you know you can depend on that guy. And that becomes your best running back.
Right.
Yeah, he's in the best. He can catch, and he's going to hold on to the football when he gets the carry. By default, that makes him the best.
What else you got, Robbie?
And the Marlins, they finished their season finally yesterday with a nice 57 wins for the season. Heinz Ketchup beating the Phillies 4-3. Gauthier got the win this time. They didn't blow it for him this time. He did
good for the Sandman. He won Macho Man yesterday. Macho Man got out of his awards. He won the Big Elbow, which is best pitcher.
I saw that.
Oh, yeah. Hiana's going to the Sandman. They screwed his record this year with lack of run support. But never forget he was the all-star for this team. And when everybody was in the infirmary, when everybody was down, the Sandman stayed up and gave them everything they had every fifth day. Effectively Wild Sandman, you get the recognition. First ever Big Elbow Award winner. We also got the Cream. He's rising to the top award. That went to Miguel Rojas, Leroy. Because he rose the most this year. And hitting, got himself an extension. And then we got the Award. that went to Eysan Diaz for that cool first major league home run with his dad in the stands. It was pretty awesome in a season full of crap. And finally, the triple MVP, Macho Marlins Man MVP, goes to Brian Anderson, the groundskeeper. I'm not going to be one of these fake journalists who forgets the first 6 months of the season like you guys were with Yelich. No further questions, Mean Gene.
We forgot about Yelich.
Yeah, you know people are going to be like, they're going to blow it off. All I hear is Rendon now. Like, nah. What about Yelich? Even though they did skyrocket ever since he got hurt.
By the way, I have a new pet.
You mean like at your house?
Yep.
What'd you get?
So, here's what happened. It's going to be a minute. You want to wait till we get back?
Yeah. Leroy's new pet, next.
We could have played a lot better in that game. I think I come up here and really say a lot of the same things. I think we, you know, were a missed block, a missed tackle, a drop, a missed kick. I mean, every week it's a handful of plays. It's 8 to 10 plays that if you make them, the game's different. You don't make them, the game is, you know, the outcome is the way it is what it was. And that's my message to the team. We need to start making those plays. We got to coach it better. We got to, you know, play better. And that's kind of where we're at. I mean, there's progress. But at the end of the day, this is about wins and losses. We're 0-4. So, yeah. Do I see progress? Yeah, I do. I mean, these guys, they work hard. They fight hard. There's efforts there. You know, they work. The communication's there. I mean, they practice hard. They're doing everything. But there's some opportunities there that we and plays that we should make, kicks that we should make, blocks that we should make, penalties that we can't have. You know, there's just a lot of things that we're hurting ourselves in a lot of ways. We got to make better second half adjustments. We got to play better. We got to coach it better. That's really what it boils down to. I think we, we go in, we talk as a staff, we make the adjustments. We go out. We had a couple. You know, we started out, you know, okay offensively, and then we got stuffed on a minus play and on a run. And you know, we couldn't get, you know, move the chains on third down, punted it, and then, you know, they went down the field, you know, offensively. So we got to do a better job. That's really what it boils down to.
Is there a lot of progress? Because nope. I feel like I'm watching the same thing every week.
No.
I mean, first of all, let's start with the premise this. Everything's progress off a 59-10 loss.
Yeah, they've been closer every single week.
There's no such thing as there's no such thing as not having progress unless you lost 100-0 the next week.
Every time you here's the crazy thing. Every time you watch the game, they get better at a phase. For example, you know how much LA likes to run the ball.
Yeah.
Did pretty good against the run.
I mean, I guess, but also, did you see that injury list coming in for San Diego? Like, we took on half the Chargers. We didn't take on all of the Chargers.
Take who comes in for the Chargers, right? That's the Dolphins starters. You understand what I'm saying?
I guess, man. I think the thing that's been dramatic is I think if you looked at the Cowboys game, I think there were that could have been a different game if that first half you executed some simple things. I kind of felt like things took a step back this past week. I don't feel like it.
Really?
Did. Yeah, I don't
necessarily think so. I look at it from this standpoint. The period of time in which they are competitive is getting longer. And the other thing is this. It's always something else, though.
Yeah.
Okay, for example, for the first 3 weeks, all I talk about is the stupid penalties, right? 10 penalties, 8 penalties, 9 penalties. This week, they only have 5. However, those 5 penalties were the most, like, at the worst possible time.
That's right.
You have a team with 5 penalties, and everyone
backbreaker
was a backbreaker.
Yep.
Okay.
Their margin for error is zero. They have 0.0 margin for error.
Let me ask you this. When you have a team that's talent depleted,
yep,
they don't have any backups, they don't have guys they can rotate in, so you're basically one and done. Your starters, that's it, right? I mean, then you're asking them to play perfect football.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. But
there are moments in the game where even when I watch the game, I say, they got to be smarter than that.
Yeah, but we're curve grading so hard on that. Like, we're looking for them to not be a disaster. So anytime there's competent football, we're like, oh, progress.
Right.
Progress.
That's what it is.
I know, but like,
it is what it is.
I feel like we've watched the same game. I take the Ravens game out of it because the Ravens game was one of the craziest things I've ever watched.
Right.
But the last 3 weeks, it feels like now I'm kind of just watching the same incompetence.
But it's because it's the same result. It's not the same incompetence. I promise you.
You promise?
The offensive line hasn't given up as many sacks.
That's true.
I promise you. And I've said this for years, that has more to do with continuity than anything.
Right.
I mean, the first week of the season, you put two guys in who just got here.
Yes.
How the hell you expect the offensive line? And then after the game's over, you can't complain about how bad the offensive line played. This guy was wearing a different jersey 5 days ago.
Although two of their starters, I think, they didn't play this week because they were hurt against Dallas.
Right.
So
like again, maybe they you have to go to the bench to get backups on this team, right? I mean, how many sign of the crosses are made on the sideline? Because,
oh yeah,
so like it's not that I'm not annoyed by watching a Dolphins game. Is that you have to temper it because you have to be more understanding of what is going on in that field.
Well, speaking of temper, it's Brian Flores.
He's getting annoyed, man.
He's gonna kill somebody. Look, remember when Rosen took that sack? They're like, and Flores throws his headset to the ground.
Right.
That's about the only thing you can't do there.
Which is tough because did you see the way the pocket closed in?
Yes.
There was no.
He swallowed.
Like, right.
He
like,
got swallowed.
Like, and that's what I mean. Look, if they want us to temper our anger a little bit, you got to be able to evaluate that and just all of a sudden say, oh, you got to get rid of it?
Yeah, but
like, if he would have just launched it in the air and it got picked off, then what do you say? Just take the sack, don't turn the ball
right,
over.
That's fair, but I think it's different. He's living it. Like, he has to be in there for everything. He's got to watch the film on it. He's
right.
You know, he's
no, I know.
He's at every part of it, and you know what's funny? I don't feel like I've ever seen a coach not wear their headset as much as I saw Brian Flores today because he's just like, I don't want to hear anything.
No,
just,
it was my, hot, and he doesn't wear a hat.
Get out of
my face.
He's
bald. It's hot. It gets sticky.
He looks like he
so
wants.
He takes it off.
I definitely take him in a fight against a lot
of
people.
Time out. Okay. Even Greg Popovich smiles. Even Bill Belichick smiles. Two of the surliest coaches.
Yeah.
Have you seen Brian Flores smile? I don't even know if he has teeth.
No, I've never seen him smile.
So just imagine. Just imagine, like, you know, it's tough, man. It's tough. It's tough. But I will say this. That first half of football?
What?
I was impressed. I was liking it.
We can't keep doing this,
man. You have no choice.
We can't be watching halves of football and be like, that's good enough.
Oh, no. I did not say that it was good enough. What I said was, as I'm watching it, the first half, when they go into the half, I'm like, all right.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I had to DVR watch the fourth quarter. Like, I woke up because I went into a stupor. I was like,
guess what? Hey,
and had to rewind.
Guess what my first half snacks were? Cheeseburger and chili cheese fries.
Oh my god! Did you make it to halftime? that's a hard note.
And a Reds apple oil, right? So here's what happened. I eat it. I'm watching. I'm like, I'm excited. Sip a beer, chili cheese fries. I put some jalapenos on it. Oh, it's excellent, right? I look up.
It's so bad because, you know, I like football. You know, the football Sundays are like some of like the only times my house is quiet because my wife just takes. She knows I gotta watch games, so she just takes the kids out to do something. And so yesterday, you ever get to Publix and you're just hungry.
Oh, you just go through every section and what can I eat now?
I went and bought fresh cold cuts the other day, but I did not buy the bread I wanted for my Sunday sandwiches. So I went and got myself a loaf of bread and I look at the bakery and go, the croquetas are out.
Fresh.
I was like, I'll take six of those. So she loads them all up for me. That's my ride home snack. That's my liner. And then I hose down my homemade sub. Delicious. And I get this kickoff and I go, oh no. So like I needed like
Sandman.
So I was able to get through through the second half, and I was able to make it through halftime. But I feel like once third quarter started rolling, I was like, oh yep. No, this is not happening. I'm not making it through. And I didn't see any of the fourth quarter live. When I woke up, it was like 30-10. I was like, yeah, that's about right. But I went back and watched. You go back and watch. You're like, all right, did I miss anything? And you're just like, not really. Like the you know, they kind of ran him to death. And you know,
the Chargers had 6-hour drives.
Yeah, like they just pounded it to death, man. So I don't know, Robbie. Like, do you ever fall asleep on? Because you
not,
love
not
to
during, not during the Dolphins.
You love, but you love to eat. Like we know you can can slay a spread, but you're also a degenerate gambler. So how do you balance the two powers?
Look, sometimes the body wants what the body wants, and no matter how much action you have on the game, you can always wake up the next morning and find out whether you won or lost a bet.
Hey,
but
so
the Dolphins, I never fall asleep.
Wait, so the Dolphins score, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's 7-3 at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I look at my wife. I said, you know what? I think that might be the first time they've had a lead all year.
Yeah.
And then, and that's the first Dolphins lead of the year. She goes,
how about that?
How about that?
No, everybody was like, yeah. Everybody's like celebrating on Twitter, and they're like, yes, a lead. Devontae Parker with a big play. You're like, whoa, that's an upset.
I thought for sure he was going to drop it. I thought for sure it was going to be a drop.
I thought he was too, man. I thought he was
really?
Too.
Really?
I mean, every long touchdown.
You can't. Stop it.
What? Preston Williams drops a touchdown. Jakeem Grant had a touchdown, hit his face mask. Like, every long passing play has been a drop.
Yeah, and so we're all sitting here. I think we're all kind of impressed with Rosen. We're like, all right, Rosen.
Yeah.
Rosen. We're all, we get to what happened on Saturday before, because you guys during college football, especially you, Robbie, you were on one. I think because you didn't have Canes, you took your frustrations out on somebody else. But but we're like, oh, Rosen, look at this. Look at this. Yeah. Rosen play a little. But what do I do, man? Like, how am I supposed to evaluate this guy? Because, you know, I'm trying to take what you say in mind. Is it fair? Is it fair what we're getting? And he's obviously being dealt a rough hand, because he's being given essentially, he's given a 1-year alone audition with the worst roster you've ever seen.
Right.
And reportedly they're going to bring him back next year, but they're definitely taking a quarterback. Like, I read that this morning. Like, they're taking a quarterback. That's it. Like,
that's fine.
It's happening. So
now
how am I supposed to know? What I'm like, am I supposed to just take the good and ignore the bad because he's in a bad situation? Because he wasn't perfect. Like, he had his mistakes and he had his shortcomings as well.
Yeah, he's also, I mean,
in year two,
right? Like, I would say this is that I look at it from this standpoint. When the season started and everybody was so confident that Fitzpatrick was going to do what he does, right? He was horrible.
Yes.
And Josh Rosen came in with the same everything that Fitzpatrick have and looked competent. So maybe that is a sign. I don't know if it is, but maybe if it's a sign, when the guy that you thought would be a competent quarterback in the situation for a while wasn't, and then a young guy comes in and he's able to have some production.
Right.
Leroy, so, did you low-key just break an oath there?
It's statistical record. Okay, no, it's horrible.
I'm explaining.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think I'll allow it, Robbie. I think I'll allow it.
So from that standpoint, like, the decisions that he's making is normally pretty good. I mean,
well, I think
keep in mind, at some point, a quarterback, you got to take chances.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's the thing we were most surprised with Fitzpatrick was this guy came in and he's the gunslinger. Like,
right.
He's the guy. He goes out there. He just heaves it. And he was not doing that. Now, understood. He's 36, 37, 38, something like that. You know, I'm not surprised he got happy feet. Like, you're old. You want to take that beating.
Right.
And Josh Rosen, he's got to go out there and cut it loose because he's trying to impress some people.
Right.
You know, like, this is his career on the line.
Right.
Fitzpatrick's career is not on the line.
It's amazing that we're saying this about Josh Rosen. It's his second year.
I know.
And he was on
he was cast off.
Terrible team. He wasn't cast off.
He was.
Right? Here. Let me ask you a question. The single-hand worst decision that could be made in the history of football, could be with Josh Rosen. I mean, could be what Arizona did with Josh Rosen, right?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Because you know what? Bad teams make bad decisions. If New England had done the same thing, how would you feel? But Arizona made that decision. that we're just going to scrap this quarterback and go get another one. So you're thinking, huh, it's a very Arizona move.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, he was cast off because it was Arizona.
But this, like, when we say that he's given you some hope, we're just like, yeah, in the midst of what?
Okay.
temper
all of your, you know, expectations, because you know what's going on here.
Yeah, I do.
What I've tried to do is try to find something positive in a terrible situation.
Yeah, but I'll do this sometimes when I'm watching fights, right? Mm-hmm. And you're seeing a guy and he's really getting lit up, like just horribly. And there'll be a round where probably like the guy who's dominating kind of takes the round off.
But you give it to the other guy.
And the other guy gets it. And I call it's curve scoring. He might not even have won the round. But right. You're just like, that didn't look as bad as what it's been. And think with Rosen, he gets curve graded in a weird way positively because we're watching so much crap that any little sprinkle he gives you, you're like, oh, Rosen.
I mean, that's what we do.
I guess. All right, we learn of your pet. And we'll go over some more of the stuff from the NFL this weekend when we come back after this. All right, welcome back, guys. It's Tobin and Leroy. We're live from the Heat's house. It's Heat Media Day. Very excited. Heat season is around the corner. Training camp starts tomorrow. Going to be in my neck of the woods, Leroy. It's going to be in West Palm. You're going to see me all the time at Heat Camp.
Really?
I'm just going to be rolling on up there. Be like, what's up, everybody? Here to play a little knockout. Who wants some? Who wants some Jimmy Buckets? I went Friday. I went to the press conference. I went to go check things out. Riley, handsome as ever, by the way.
Dan, I wanted your impressions of the South Florida crowd tonight. It's been a while since you guys have been here.
Now, I got a lot of feedback on this because I was at the press conference and people were wondering, people who were watching live, we broadcast it live on 7/9 Ticket. People were disappointed I didn't bust out my journalism voice, why that wasn't there, as I did with the Myers-Leonard press conference, finding out whether or not he found his earbuds. Couple reasons for that. One, I couldn't get a sniff at the mic. It was a little hard because I was in the way back by our little broadcast area. The other thing was I didn't want to waste too many bullets because I don't know who we're going to talk to today, whatever. Right. So I don't know. My questions aren't going to be the same as other people's questions. You know, like I want to ask Pat Riley and Mr. Riley, like if you would honor us with your presence, we're in your house right now. We're in the Heat's house. If you would come down to our broadcast table, we would love to speak with you. That just please. But I want to ask him about. I want to ask him about basketball, but I'd also like to ask him about what was going on in the Mickey Arison boat dressed as a genie. And I don't feel like our new friend Ira Winderman or any of the great reporters of the Miami Heat, I don't feel like they're going to appreciate my question.
Why were they dressed as genies?
Yeah, why were they dressed as genies? Why was this the theme that was picked? These are the things
well, no,
I want
to know. It just seemed like him and Wade were the only two dressed like genies.
Oh, no.
Everybody else was.
Oh, no. They were all dressed like Mickey Arison dressed as a genie. They were all dressed like genies.
Ooh.
Yeah. All just like genies. I'll find you the picture. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll find it right now.
Hold on. Mickey Arison was dressed as a genie?
Mickey Arison was dressed as a genie. Let's see. Mickey.
A genie with fat cat syndrome?
All right.
I'm just saying.
So.
He was a little. He's short, right?
And here we go.
He may be a little.
Nah, I think he wears it well, man. You'd be surprised.
Let me see.
My man, he's looking like a genie sultan on his own on his giant yacht. I think this is when they were out.
Is that Pirelli in the purple on the left?
No, I don't know who that is.
With the gray beard?
Yeah, he's got the red hat, the red getup on.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but so we got to know Jimmy Butler. Loves to curse, all right? Spent a lot of the time letting everybody know that he's not a bad guy, that he wants people to know that he's not a bleep hole, which I believe him because I feel like it's everybody else's problem.
I am never offended by the guy who had to fight, claw, and scratch to get to where he is, and that doesn't change when he gets here.
Right.
That means that's a us problem.
Well,
that ain't him problem.
It is an interesting thing. Like, he made a point of this. So this was Jimmy Butler, and we'll get back into football in a little bit, but I do want to spend some time because I didn't make the trek down here. This was Jimmy Butler, and you know, after I would say he probably got like three questions on his reputation, right? Like, what are the practices like? You know, what are the true tales? What are not the true tales? What do you think happened in with your other teammates? And so this was Jimmy Butler. He was asked about being like the face of the franchise, and he just wants to let people know, I'm not a bleep. So you want to make it clear, not a bad guy. Reputation is like Alonzo telling us he's a fun guy. He's a fun guy. I'm a fun guy.
Yeah, you guys don't know me, you know, but I have an amazing sense of humor, you know. Just don't see that side of me too often. So,
like, never. Like, never. This ain't
throwing Jeff Van Gundy into the fourth row.
Remember this? We got so. Dang. Like,
Zoe's knock knock jokes are punching you in the face.
Right,
knock
right.
knock on your skull. But
like, every person that we have talked to about Zoe has talked about a fight they were in. Right? He says, I'm a fun guy. Like, nobody ever comes in here and tells about the funny jokes you've told.
Okay, but this is my favorite part of the press conference, okay? So Jimmy Butler is, you know, one of the things that he made clear is, look, it's honeymoon stage. You know, he just got himself a big fat contract.
Sure.
But he really seems to like all the guys here so far.
Mm-hmm.
Understood losing can affect that if they don't get off to the start, everybody assumes. But so far, he likes everybody. And here's the reason why. Apparently, the Heat are full of trash talkers, and he likes that. This ain't Minnesota. This ain't soft. Starting with the 19-year-old, he's telling you, Tyler Hero.
Of course. Just talks. The guy says, I got the best drip here. What kind of trash do you think he's going to talk?
He talks nonstop trash. And I'm going to play you this clip, Leroy. There is an upset into who else apparently talks a ton of trash.
I mean, with Tyler, man, that kid got some to him. Like, he always got something to say. Like, he always has something to say. And I respect it because that shows me he got that fight. He's not backing down from anybody. Whether you're on his team or against him in practice, or as you'll see soon enough, that when you're going against everybody else, he's never going to back down. And then, you know, you got all these other guys, Bam, just like how hard he plays, the motor, how personable he is, always joking around, always talking. That goes down the line. But I think more than anybody is I saw the other day, man, yo, Duncan can shoot the hell out of the ball. Like, incredible shooter. And being around him, you'd think that he was quiet, but he's not. He's yapping as well, which I like, because that just puts a battery in my back and gives me free reign to go at everybody. So I'm loving it here. Everybody talks. Nobody takes nothing personal. It's all about winning. We compete, and we do a lot of talking.
Duncan Robinson, bleep talker.
I mild upset. I wasn't shocked by Tyler Hero.
Oh, no.
But other Duncan, because, like, here, one of the good things about trash talk, right? One of the great things about trash talk is it forces you to have to perform.
Right.
So if you're going to put yourself out there, you can't then back down to the challenge.
Right. And then if you're on a team with like Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, and he's just saying all the mean things on the court, and they're like, so make him stop, Tibbs. Make him stop. Right. Like, you know, that's a weird situation to be in.
Well, it's just a mentality of like when you've been in an environment where everything that you've done was dominant and good enough,
right,
then sometimes you just feel you can just go on the floor or go on the court and just do it, right? That it's not going to be a struggle. Whereas you have guys that have talent, but because of the way that they got there to that point was all
not the way he got there.
All struggling, scratching and clawing, working your way up, hard work, you know. And so once you get there, that never goes away. So you don't have to worry about Jimmy Butler and Fat Cat Syndrome.
No.
You don't have to worry about that. But some of these guys is just because of the way, I mean, think about this. When Jimmy Butler was coming out of high school, wasn't pampered.
Nope.
All the little bitty baby schools he went to, wasn't pampered. Get into rookie camp, not pampered. He got to Chicago, not pampered. Came off the bench. He had to work his way up.
Yep.
Now you look at a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, one and done. When he was in high school, please, 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 please come out of school. You could do everything.
Andrew Wiggins next LeBron.
Andrew Wiggins next LeBron. And so just the mentality, you know, at some point it's going to click in their head that guess what? These guys are just as good as me. I'm going to have to work and I'm going to have to fight and I'm going to have to claw so I can regain my dominance in the sport.
When we come back, Leroy has a new pet and we'll get more back more into just yesterday in football.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.